Good morning. Welcome back. We pray. Lord God, hear us and help us to hear you. Amen. Who is the most important person on this campus? In your opinion, which person is virtually indispensable? Who is the least important person on this campus? In your opinion, which person could be removed from ILC with no appreciable effect? And now let me ask you, where do you fit in? Seriously now, do you regard yourself as being pretty important around here? Or do you regard yourself as being unimportant? Do you expect others to open the door for you? Do you expect others to move out of the way when you're coming through? Do you expect others to choose you first for some event? Or are you happy when others get chosen rather than you? Philippians 2. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not regard it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. And, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, equal to the Father in all things, existing on the level of God. Jesus, taking upon himself the form of a slave, when he had every right to live on that divine level, he emptied himself and took upon himself the life of a slave. Born in a stable, running away to Egypt, living as a carpenter's son in some insignificant village, subjecting himself to the scorn and ridicule of men, subjecting himself to the temptations of the foremost enemy of God, Satan, living a life of submission to people whom he himself had created, being required to keep the laws which were not meant for God, but were rather created by Christ for man, living a life of poverty, enduring the rejection of men, being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then, when he had done it all and done it right, he lowered himself even more, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. On the cross, he endured not just the agony of crucifixion, but the anguish of being forsaken by God. And only after having done all that did God exalt him above all beings and above all things. let this mind be in you which was in him. He regarded every human being, including Stalin and Hitler and Saddam and Gaddafi and me and you, everyone, as being better than himself. He gave everything. He gave his all, his divine all, for us. Is that the kind of mind you have in yourself? God wants us to humble ourselves, to regard all others as being better than ourselves. So who was that person you thought of as being the least important person on campus? Was it you? Should have been. If it wasn't, then you should consider this. That person that you were thinking of, you should be holding the door for him. You should be moving out of his way. You should want her to be chosen first. You should be happy for all others who are honored, though you are not. Now, how in the world do we get such an attitude? How do we develop that kind of an attitude? Because it surely doesn't come naturally. By nature, we regard ourselves as being pretty good. We think we deserve attention, we deserve honor, we deserve glory. We're disappointed if there's something that we want and it goes to somebody else. The best position on the team, the best part in the musical. So how can we develop for ourselves this Christ-like attitude of humility? When is the last time you prayed for humility? Think about it. When is actually the last time that you prayed for that? When is the last time that you confessed to God the sin of pride and asked him to forgive you? If we do not recognize the weaknesses in our own selves, how are we possibly going to pray for the right kind of strength? How are we going to pray for the strength of humility if we do not recognize pride? Yes, I did say the strength of humility. Humility gave Jesus the strength to submit, to endure, to sacrifice, to die. He had to have the kind of a heart that would place all others ahead of himself. And that's what enabled him to do what he did for their sakes, for our sake. So talk to God about it, about giving you humility. And listen to God. Listen as you read your Bible, and as you come to chapel, and as you go to church. Learn how important each person in this world is to God. Important enough for him to sacrifice his own son for them. For us. And if you do that, then those people will also become important to you. If you see how God's Son sacrificed himself for you, miserable wretches that you are, you're going to be willing to sacrifice yourself for others. To sacrifice your honor, your glory, your time, even your life, if necessary. Remember, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And he has exalted you. He has forgiven all your sins. He has covered you with the righteousness of Christ. He has bestowed on you the ultimate honor. of being sons of God. We pray. O Lord, forgive our sin of pride and our desire to exalt ourselves. Help us to see all people as you see them, regarding them as better than ourselves. In due time, exalt us all to your right hand, not for our sakes, but for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we'll sing hymn 439, verses 1, 3, and 4.